Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Hello and welcome to the QPR Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow and Julian Monaghan and Gav Lawson of Ranger Things. And gents, finally, there is a new man in charge. He's been confirmed. He's been at Brentford in the past. He struggled at Nottingham Forest and his name is Mark Warburton. What do we make of that appointment?
Now, I think we decided last week, because it was rumoured heavily last week rather than confirmed, that we were not overly excited, but we were mildly content, I think would be the way.
Mildly excited not to get Sherwood.
Yeah, exactly. We didn't want him, and I suppose it's not best of a bad bunch, but it's okay. He's got a lot to prove. Mixed record. Did decent job at Brentford. I think okay at Glasgow Rangers, but fell out with the leadership and probably a bad time at Nottingham Forest. But ultimately, you know, it's for him to prove to us that he can come in and do a great job. And he's obviously brought in Banfield, which has been confirmed today. And I think keeping Eustace is a smart move, considering he did reasonably well in his time. Tactically, I thought I was quite impressed by him. So I think keeping Eustace, who knows the players, knows the squad, I think that's a smart move.
For sure. I think so. But is it, is it extra pressure, do you think, Julian, on Warburton, the fact that he did well at Brentford and the fact he's essentially a Brentford boy? And we've spoken quite a lot about the fact that if you're not a QPR man as a manager and you come in, you're going to struggle. Obviously, Hasselbank was an ex-Chelsea manager and he came in and he had that against him.
But we don't hate Brentford.
No, I don't at all. But a load of people seem to.
I think they get irritated. I've got two young kids and the younger kid is irritating to the older one, in the same way that we probably irritate Chelsea when Wright Phillips scores a winner at Stamford Bridge, or when they have two sent off in Drogba and Bissouma. They don't like it. It's agitating, but they really don't really care about us. No. It's a similar sort of thing. It may change over time because we've lost 5 years in a row.
Yeah.
If we play them for the next 5 years, it may build a rivalry.
It might change, yeah.
But at the moment, I don't think it really is. So it doesn't really worry me. I think I'm not going to hold him being a Brentford manager against him.
No, absolutely. I'm excited that it's actually not Ainsworth. Not excited, but I'm more relieved that it's not Ainsworth at this point.
You don't want to ruin Ainsworth's career.
Yeah, as I said. No. I think we'll do that 15 games into the season when we fire Warburton and then go back to Ainsworth begging for him to come and save us.
Interesting that you're not keen for Ainsworth to come in now. Is there anyone who was on that list of potential targets? I know Bertram was on there, for example, who you would rather had than Warburton, or actually, is he the best appointment?
Best.
I
think, out of that lot.
Yeah, I think we commented a few weeks ago that we would have liked that the club had been doing a bit of homework and maybe brought someone in from left field that was clever, that we hadn't heard of, that would have inspired us. But then sometimes that's a massive risk, because who knows who they are. But there have been other clubs who've signed managers who you've not heard of. You know, if you think about Huddersfield, or I'm trying to think of others, there have been some that have kind of brought in managers and you've gone, oh, I didn't know who they were, and they've come and done a great job. But we'd knew everybody apart from the Portuguese guy from the French team, and I didn't know much about him. But if he'd have come in, we'd have been sitting there a bit like when Di Canio came in at QPR going, wow, we don't know much about him. We'd be excited, but then it might only be lasted 10 games because he could have started badly.
Exactly. I think it seems to be a fairly safe bet, if not particularly exciting, a fairly safe bet.
Are you excited at all by his style of football? Because he was known for playing attractive stuff while at Brentford in that traditional Brentford style. Do you think that he's going to have the kind of players he needs to play a high press, to play out from the back, to be inventive?
He'll have to sign them, a lot of them. I mean, I think for me, Bidwell going, because we found out that Bidwell's leaving, that is, he was on fairly big wages, I guess, but also I'm hoping that suggests about where he's going to play with his defenders, as opposed to, you know, playing wing backs instead of typical full backs, because Bidwell was a bit dull. He came from Brentford. He was a bit dull.
Did you meet him?
Yeah, but I didn't mean that. Yeah, I mean at the sponsors thing. But, you know, he's a bit dull in that, you know, if we're going to fill that space as a left back, I think him changing the whole style of play and going for more classic wing backs next season, it might be exciting for us, because it was, to be honest, you know, it was pretty dull watching Bidwell and,
Well, just, I think the thing that we tried to do under McLaren the first five or six games was play out from
away.
The back.
Didn't work.
And we didn't do very well, and the keeper couldn't cope. He was hoofing it up. And the defence just sort of lost the plot, and we started conceding heavily. You know, obviously 7-1 at West Brom and then 3-0 at home to Bristol City were a couple of games where we tried that. So hopefully Eustace can fill him in on the fact that the incumbents weren't very good at that, albeit Lynch is going and Bidwell's going, but he will have to sign those players. If you ask about the high pressing game rather than the playing from the back, then yeah, I think we've got some of those players that can do that. We need a striker to do that, because Smith isn't going to be able to do the high press game.
Sure. We did it well. I mean, Mass and Skoran are good at that as well. But I mean, Freeman seems to be on his way, and he was an integral part of that pressing kind of system as well, full of energy. I don't know if we do have the players at the moment, but we've got a lot of kids coming back as well.
Of the players at the club who will still be there next season, and I know coming up we'll be talking about some of those who perhaps won't be, of the people who Warburton will be confident of having at his disposal, who do you think in these first couple of weeks of training with the lads he will identify as his potential key men, the spine of the team?
Okay. Well, we probably just, well, luckily Gareth's not here tonight, so we can talk about Luongo.
We can talk about Mass, yeah.
We can talk about Luongo being in there. I think Scowan too. Yeah. If I think back to the previous season, I felt our whole season was around the fact that Scowan, Luongo and Freeman had played so well in midfield, centrally, no wingers. And obviously two of them didn't have the best of seasons, although Scowan towards the end started to come back in. I think overall, you'd say the whole season Mass was a bit disappointing.
And Freeman, compared with the season before.
Yeah,
for sure.
And Freeman was excellent. So I think he's got to hope that Mass comes back. I think Eze's got to step up. We know that the high press, some of it's going to come from the speed of the wingers, I would hope, with Bright, and then obviously with Smith being pretty quick.
That role, filling the Freeman role, is going to be a big one, but we're hoping that Chair will probably step up to it, because he's very quick, very creative. He's been doing it for, albeit several divisions below.
Is there a concern? He's been excelling at Stevenage, but with all due respect to Stevenage, that is a very different kettle of fish. That's a big jump. Can he do it?
Well, we don't know, but he's been called out as being, he's been compared to the best player that division's ever had. I'm the best player Stevenage has ever had.
Did Stevenage say that, or did someone else say that?
Okay, so maybe it was the manager of Stevenage, but he was also... No, I don't know. I think it was director of football at Stevenage. They're saying the best. They reckon he was the best player that division had ever had. I don't know. There's a lot of pressure on him, but, it's a big step up, isn't it? I mean, going up from League One is a step up. Eze did it.
We need somebody in the centre of midfield, and maybe that's Scam, but that Cameron role... or potentially Hall filling it is important, because if you're going to free the likes of Eze and Chair and Smith and Samuel to be able to do that more attacking game, then you need that more defensive midfielder in there to be able to pick up the pieces when it does go wrong.
My concern is that of those four very exciting players that are coming through the U team, there's only really going to be space for two of them in that side, especially as they're so young. So it's going to be a case of being able to juggle and bring in. He's going to have to bring in some experience, and he's going to have to bring in a prolific striker as well.
Interesting to see which of those kids make the cut. A final update for you from England's cricketers. England have won the third ODI against Pakistan. They made light work of their 359 target, hitting it at a canter with five overs to go. The openers set the pace. Jason Roy with 76 off 55 balls and a blistering 128 from 93 balls for Johnny Bairstow. There was even good humour when Ben Stokes was run out by Shaheen's ankle. So it's not all doom and gloom in sport, and it's not all doom and gloom here on the Palace. I've been doing Palace all evening.
I
do apologise.
Last week as well.
I get in this Palace
because we look like kings, mate. That's what
it is. That's exactly it. Julian. On the QPR fan show, I do apologise, because it's time for your first clue of this week's Who Are You, which is simple. I once played my league football in Mexico.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the QPR fan show here on Love Sport Radio, and the lads are being bold. They want to guess in Who Are You already. They've had one clue that we're 12 minutes into the show, and Gav reckons he's got it. What are you saying?
Is it Zarate from West Ham?
Mauro Zarate. So that first clue, to recap, is that I once played my league football
in Mexico.
You can
tell it's not right, the smug face.
I can confirm that it's not Mauro Zarate.
You're really drawing this out.
And I can also confirm that Mauro Zarate has actually never played his football in Mexico.
Okay.
But I'll give you another clue coming up, and I won't be as smug, I promise, if you fail to get it after that one. Quite a few people, of course, in this current QPR squad won't be feeling very smug at all, because they could find themselves without a club in the summer. There are lots of players who are going to be out of contract. Who's staying? Who have the club already chosen not to keep? And who will you be very sad to see the back of?
Well, why don't you do Pav, because you love him. He's obviously leaving, one of those.
I think we'll all be quite sad to see the back of Pav. And
what do you mean? You'd be sad. Sorry,
sad.
I said glad.
No, sad.
Because he's a workhorse.
But he's not just a workhorse. He's very popular. He's a very lovable guy. He is a workhorse, but also, you know, he's put a beautiful post on social early, just saying that he's really bonded with the fans. You know, especially in these Brexity kind of times. You know, he's the only guy that's going to be affected. I think he's leaving because he doesn't want to stay here anymore, because he's felt unwelcome. But
this is not a political.
Not
show.
By us, but just by. Is that
actually true?
No.
Not by Rangers. Rangers, we all love him, but, you know, would you want to live here if you're Polish now? It's a hostile environment. You know.
Quite possibly not, personally. Yeah.
But he was obviously on a bit of money, so I think he put in a good effort. He was decent in patches, not outstanding.
Yeah, we've got a lot of wingers coming through as well.
I think if it was just about him as a performer, we would probably say he's worth keeping, but given you add the finances to it, then I think it's fair enough that he goes. I think if we move to Lynch, who's the next one, I wish him well. He obviously tried hard, but sadly it was just never worked out. He never stepped up enough. He used to give those wayward forward passes away all the time, giving possession away. And he used to get turned very, very easily.
His mistakes were big ones as well, and they were costly. You know, he did look, and it's the thing, he played out from the back really well three out of four passes in the game, and then the fourth one would just go horribly askew and lead to a goal or a really big chance. He made too many mistakes.
So we don't mind seeing him go.
I think of all of them, I think he's probably the one that you would say nobody's probably said.
Probably cover for our two expected centre backs, and we need to replace him, but we also need to find work out who our centre back pairing is going to be, and he's probably not going to be the two in the choice next season.
What about Cameron? Because I heard you say, Julian, a few moments ago that the club are going to need someone in that Cameron role. He, of course, I believe, is back off to Stoke.
They've already said that they there's no place for him at the club, so somebody's going to
he must
get
be
him.
Feeling loved this summer.
Yeah. But, he's on Premiership wages. We won't be able to afford him unless he's going to take a 75% pay cut. We'd love to have him.
We'd love to. I think it's more likely to go back to the States.
Yeah.
To be honest, he's not going to make it back into the Premier League, I doubt.
No.
And I don't think most Championship clubs are going to be able to afford. Well, there's a few that could afford him, and it'd be a good acquisition. But yeah, wish him well.
Yeah.
And two of those strikers, of course, we've mentioned Matt Smith, who probably will be at the club next season. But both Tom Ahmed and Naki Wells were on loan this season from Premier League sides in a similar way. Premier League wages being involved as well. Neither of them likely to stick around.
Ahmed's obviously going to go new manager. Maybe I've got a chance. I'll go back and try and force my way into the team. So fine. And actually, you know, he wasn't good enough for us. He was in patches, but long periods out, and then long periods of, as we talked a lot about, seemingly not a lot of effort. And Wales has kind of divided fan bases. I liked him. I thought his movement was good. He had some barren spells.
Erratic
up front.
Finishing.
The thing is,
Only towards the end.
He was one of with many who, you know, they played really well when we were winning and actually getting points on the board. And then come the start of this year, he's missed a lot of chances, but we just drained confidence throughout a team.
We can do that with a lot of players.
Yeah, no, we can. And a lot of them who had decent games just really suffered. You know, and he still, you know, he made a big effort. His finishing really tailed off. It wasn't great at the end. But I mean, I would go out all out to sign him if we could. We're not going to be able to afford him.
He's too much money, and then they're going to want a fee. I think they bought him for 9 or 12 million, somewhere in between that. So Burnley aren't going to sell him cheap. I think for him, being at QPR probably hasn't helped his career, and I doubt anyone in the Premiership is going to sign him. So possibly someone at the top end of the championship, but they're going to want money for him. And so it may be tough for him.
Yeah, possibly back to Huddersfield. With all these players going out the door for QPR, where do you need to strengthen ahead of next year?
Up front first. Definitely up front.
Is there any money to do this? I mean, we saw Timo Pukki, of course, won the Championship Golden Boot. He was a free agent. McGoldrick was Sheffield United's player of the season. He scored, I think, 18 in the league. He was a free agent as well. There are bargains out there, but are QPR going to need it to be a bargain?
We've talked about Penrice and the scouting. They need to be at the top of their game. We've got to find somebody because we're not going to be paying big money for anyone. So you're either going for an established player who's looking at the end of their career but willing to take a pay cut, or you're looking for someone coming up?
I think it's got to be a loan. I think up front, we've got to try and do the same thing as we did with Wells. And it looks like Freeman's going to go. You know, the guy spoke last week whether we're going to get 6-7 million for him, which we really should, or 3-4. You know, if we get 6 or 7, then... yeah, we've got a chance of signing someone decent. But, I mean, I think it's going to be about accessing the loan market again, really, in that position.
And is any money that gets generated by the potential sale of the likes of Freeman going to be available for Warburton to reinvest in his playing squad?
Some of it. We've got to pay off the fee, financial fair play.
So you cut the wages, that's a few million. You sell Freeman for 6-7. So the 6-7 balances the books. So if you can cut the wages by a few million,
you get a few million.
Then you get a few million to maybe sign them.
Which is why they let Pav and Bidwell go.
But then there is the financial fair play, which is the 17 million, you know, fine after you've taken off the 22 that the owners are paying off. So, you know, there may be, but they've got to be very smart about how they think about it. And obviously Warburton, I assume, would have had some kind of reassurance that he might have something.
It's given a long-term project, exactly. And he is good at, or he has been good in the past, at bringing through young players. So it's exactly what we need.
Well, him and those around him are going to have to do a very good job. We have, of course, got Championship action at the moment. Quick update for you listening in. It's West Brom 1, Aston Villa 0 on the night on their Championship playoff second leg in that semi-final. 2-2 on aggregate, and away goals, of course, do not count in Championship playoffs. Lads, QPR have played both of these sides twice this season. Who do you prefer? Who would you like to see go up?
That's a silly question.
Who's the better side?
Doesn't matter about who's the better side. John Terry is on the bench at Aston Villa.
So we're very much Baggies fans this evening.
Yeah, we're Baggies fans. Plus, Badger, one of my best mates, is a Baggies fan. He's been through it. Yeah, no, I think we're definitely Baggies fans. Even though they beat us 7-1, and then they beat us at home 3-2 in the last minute when they shouldn't have had a guy on the pitch that scored the winner.
And we've got 4 points off Villa, so we'll get that again next season.
4 points off Villa, exactly. Yeah.
So, I Baggies all day.
Do you see them doing it?
Well, 1-0 up, you're at home. You've got the momentum. They just had a very good chance there that we saw. So, one more goal and they're in there.
But then they got Leeds. I mean, you know, Derby are not a great playoff side, let's be honest. I mean, they're great to play against in the playoffs. But
they obviously wanted, for the papers, they wanted, I was going to say Fat Frank. So, I've said it now. Fat Frank versus... John Terry, I'll be polite, but that may not be the case. They may be both the losers in this, so we'll see.
There will be updates for you from this game throughout the show, of course. And gents, it's time for your second clue in tonight's Who Are You, which is, I once played my league football at Cardiff City. Coming up, it's time for a season review.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the QPR Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. And gents, as it's our last QPR Fan Show until the new season begins, it would be remiss of us to not review the season. With that in mind, let's kick off with your individual favourite moments of the season and why.
Okay, so I've got a couple here. It's going to be at home. It's going to be beating Villa. It's Friday night. I was on the way out. I was going clubbing. I had a few before the game, got to be honest, and wasn't really expecting us to go and beat them. And Pav scored a great goal. It was just an electric atmosphere as well, Friday night. It really was probably the best atmosphere we had. John Terry was obviously there, he'd given it a little bit before the game, and it was just it was just very satisfying. And then got away. It's probably got to be Forest, isn't it?
Well, that's my one, and I'm sure it's Gareth's one because he was obviously there. 34 attempts, finally done it. It was one of those sort of ridiculous moments each season where we go, oh gosh, Forest away, we definitely lose there. So to go up there, and at the time, it was, you know, the season was poised and we were kind of looking at the upward momentum, and then that was perfectly timed where we thought, actually, you know, we could be pushing for the playoffs here. Mm. I can't remember which month it was. Was it like November or early, I think, December?
Yeah. No, it can't have been, because we played them on the turn of the year, didn't we? So it must have been earlier than that.
But it was definitely on. It was in our purple patch of performances. So we started to, we looked good. We won away at Forest. We thought, this is the season. It's all great. It's all falling into place. So it felt good at that time, and to go up there and Tony to get the winner.
Plus, it was a great goal, and it was Pav, and we all love Pav.
Leisner got the winner.
No, Forrest. Yeah. Sorry.
But we all love Leisner.
And someone also put a load of money on Leisner scoring.
Was Gav's supposed mate that bet twice, 1-0 away wins with Leisner.
With Leisner.
Both times it's happened.
So he's retired now, yeah.
It sounds wise to me. Favourite player of the season? It could be Leisner for that reason.
For me, it might be slightly controversial, but I would go for Eze purely from a personal perspective of, actually, I'm always the Maverick player kind of fan. And so early in the season and the end of last season, it's nice to have a young player that looks like he's got potential. It's quite a nice story. He'd been rejected by 3 clubs. It looked like potentially he was going to come out of football. So it's a good news story that his career's kicked ahead again. I know the Boo Boys have sort of got on him at the back end of the season. But a personal thing for me is, I've got 2 young boys that I'm trying to get into QPR, which is probably going to ruin their life. But one of them has really...
Did it ruin your life?
In parts.
It's still ruining
in parts.
It, but, yeah, okay.
But one of them's really latched onto Eze as being like his player, his man. And so from a personal perspective, it's nice to be able to say you've got a midfield player that's got potential, that's a bit of a Maverick. And, you know, again, we saw it at Sheffield Wednesday at the end of the season, that game, how he can turn it on. And so I'm hoping that that's what's going to happen.
Plus,
to him as a player.
He's talked about... as your kids at school, he's talked about, you know, being looked at by Man U and Spurs and people like that. You know, he's our big time potential of the future.
Yeah.
I'd actually kind of agree with that. I mean, from a stats point of view, I think it's hard to argue with Freeman because he scored 8 and set up 7 or something like that. And he was a talisman. But yeah, I think Eze did have a great season. I think there's a lot of players that also could have, you know, that could have come in second, but played really well when we were playing well and winning, and then really faded when we, you know, this year. You know, there were a lot of candidates for me. I think like Darnell Furlong, he had patches where he was great. Rangel as well, and then he got injured. Cameron was great, and then he got injured.
You're going to cover all 11 players?
No, I'm not. And Scowen and Leisner, I think, had great moments, but also had completely shocking moments as well. So I think they've been too up and down, but consistency-wise, yeah.
Yeah.
And gents, what was the most memorable goal? I'm not asking for goal of the season here. It doesn't have to be the best. I'm asking most memorable strike.
Yeah, it will sadly be the best strike as well because of what it... So the equaliser at Villa was an amazing goal. Again, it was New Year's Day. I was at the races. I just won some money on the horses, so I was feeling pretty good. It was at the point again, at the last point before we went on this horrible run. So you actually felt pretty good at that stage. So the season was going well. We scored a great equaliser away at Villa Park. We've done pretty well there in the last couple of years. So that was and it was a memorable, amazing strike from outside the box. In fact, that wasn't the equaliser, was it? Eze got the equaliser.
No, that was the first equaliser.
So Eze four. I don't have to say that.
It was the first equaliser.
It was the equaliser. Well, no, it was that goal that meant we've got a draw at Villa Park. And I felt like the season was really going to kick in then.
That was Eze.
Yeah. And yeah, it was Eze. So in fact, it was Eze's goal. And then sadly, it all went wrong.
Yeah. I'm going to go for... So I'd just come back from Germany and I'd realised I wasn't going to make the game. And I landed and came straight to the ground with my bags and made it for the second half. And it was the second time we beat Leeds at home. And Freeman, again, it was a great run by Mass, cut it back. And it was so important because we just come off the back of a shocking run and we really needed to beat Leeds and no one was really expecting us to do it after that run of form. And we beat them and I only saw half of the game, but it was, yeah, that was really, really important and it's a great goal.
And what was the biggest letdown of the year?
Oh, it's a lot to choose from here.
For me, it has to be, unfortunately, Steve McLaren. We ummed and erred about whether it was a good sign, a good appointment. Obviously some of us were keener to keep Ollie. I actually thought it was the right thing to depart with Ollie or part with Ollie at that point. I was hoping for much more. It started badly. It then looked like it was sorted. I would have given him more time myself, but ultimately it's turned around to be disappointing. If you think about his record, it's an ex-England manager. You know, he seemed to talk well. He always looked confident about the fact he was going to turn it around. But at the end of the day, it's a damp squib. And I think you've got to say it was disappointing.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, essentially the team, which is who he's responsible for, as we were going so well into the new year. And then after that, it was just such a colossal, massive collapse. And yeah, I mean, we literally, Swansea and Leeds in 2019 were the only two decent games. I mean, Millwall away was okay, but I mean, you know, there were only two really memorable victories. And he got himself fired after, you know, we were talking about playoffs, and then it was such a complete spiral that, the disappointing thing is how terrible we were towards the end of the season compared with how he picked us up, you know. But we didn't get relegated, so, you know.
All's well that ends
after
well.
After four games, we all thought we were going to get relegated. So, you know, he still deserves some credit.
And just quickly, gents, who are you most excited about for next season?
Well, potentially he could have a great song, you know, sit down next to me. I do think, you know, and we've got to be careful about not hyping him up too much, but you've got to say it's Chair. He looks exciting. Bring him back into the team. Could have a great, great season, great song.
Loan him out to Wickham, Chair for the Chair Boys.
Yeah.
But you know what? There are four or five that, I mean, we all think it's probably going to be Chair, but also there are, you know, Little Smith could come in and do it. Otte could come in and make a real name for himself. Eze could have an absolute blinding season. So, you know, and Bright, you know, Bright finished really strongly as well. So there are five youngsters coming through that I think a couple of them will excel and make a name for themselves.
Potentially exciting stuff for QPR. Quick goal update, I should say, score update from the Championship playoffs. In that second leg semi-final, West Brom versus Villa, it's still West Brom 1, Villa 0 on the night at the Hawthorns. 2-2, of course, on aggregate. And a reminder that away goals don't count. And we've had some big European footballing news into the studio. Antoine Griezmann has announced he will leave Atletico Madrid at the end of the season. And will Barcelona trigger that £125 million release clause? Coming up, we've got something rather exciting. We've heard your view on the season, but we'll also be talking to QPR legend Don Shanks to get his take on things. But first, it's time for your third and penultimate Who Are Your Clue? I currently play my domestic football in Sweden. Don't go anywhere.
This is Love Sport.
Paul Crowbottom.
You're listening to the QPR Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. And we've had some suggestions for Who Are You? Who are we going for? A reminder, your clues are so far. I played for Cardiff, once played my league football in Mexico, and I currently play my league football in Sweden. Who could I be?
Go on, Jay Bothroyd.
I don't remember Jay Bothroyd
playing
in Mexico.
You give me the thumbs up or the... Oh, no, that's...
I don't remember him playing in Mexico.
No.
I don't remember him playing for QPR either, so it's, you know, it's easily forgettable.
No, it's incorrect. We'll keep updates coming throughout the show. You, of course, have one more clue coming and you'll be able to guess. I think you will get it correctly at that point. I'm pretty sure you will. If not, we'll keep amping them up and you will certainly be there. I'm interested by your answers for who you're most excited for next season, because a name who neither of you opted for was Bright Assay Samuel.
I did say Bright at the
end.
Did
you? Yeah,
yeah.
You snuck in.
No, I just snuck in.
How confident are you about him?
Well, I mean, you know, he should be the most exciting because he just won young player of the year. We had a discussion about how that wasn't necessarily the winner that we would have given, but he does look exciting. There's a lot of pressure on him if we don't bring another quality striker in, because we need goals to come from somewhere, and these kids bring a lot of energy and they don't bring a lot of experience and they don't bring a lot of goals at the moment, so someone has to step up. But Bright has looked really good, but there are, you know, there's not space in that side for all five of these youngsters, so it'll be interesting to see who's actually going to make it.
I like Bright a lot, so we're excited by him. I suppose, as you say, it's I'm already excited by him, so I just think he's going to get better. I don't think it's what, when you say who we're going to be most excited by, he's already there for me. The last 10 games, I think he ended up playing maybe five or six of those. We kept calling out the fact that he should be starting, and he did. So,
but he started something like, not started, he played in about 23, 24 games, which I was actually shocked by. But I think he got 5-10 minutes in most of them, and we all kind of thought, why isn't he starting? But you know, he gave a great impact off the bench.
Just needs to improve his shooting. He's a bit wayward or he's straight at the keeper, but the rest of his game's good.
I'm always very sceptical when a professional striker, professional forward, I should say, isn't clinical in front of goal.
He's a winger.
He's a winger, but it seems like that kind of thing where you can work on it. I always felt like this about Theo Walcott, where shooting is not like movement, that poacher's instinct for goal. You should be able to learn to finish, shouldn't you?
I don't know. Ask the winger over here. You know, Gav played in his charity match this week at left wing, so maybe he can tell us about his shooting boots.
Yeah, I think he does look to, you know, he considers himself more of an out-and-out flying winger who should chip in with a few goals. But, well, he chipped in with a couple this year. But, I mean, you know, he only started a few games. I think the goals will come, but he needs someone to be... We need the coaches to be good this year. And I think they will be, because... Yeah.
Warburton's bringing his men in as well. I'm delighted to say that we're joined on the line by QPR legend Don Shanks. Good evening, Don. Thanks ever so much for joining us. Of course, we've been talking a lot about new boss Mark Warburton this evening. What's your take on the appointment?
Yeah, I think it's good, actually. I mean, obviously at Brentford, you know, he's done well, and then he sort of went off to Forest and bits and pieces. But yeah, no, I think, you know, I'm quite glad, you know, we've got someone like him. I think he's enthusiastic. I think he'd come up with a few new ideas. And I think, you know, possibly, you know, he can bring a few players in. You know, a few of the older players. He can help the younger guys out a bit, you know.
And do you know a little bit about his style of play? Have you seen his teams in the past and that's filled you with confidence?
I don't know so much. Obviously, when sort of Brentford playing QPR over the last few years, you know, we haven't done so well against them. But... you know, so he's obviously got his style that he wants to play. I mean, the fans down at the Bush, we've been sort of starved for a little bit of glory. So hopefully he can sort of bring a bit of that in, you know.
Don, hi, it's Gav here. I was playing in the Football League game with you on Tuesday night.
Right.
At Loftus
okay.
Road. So yeah, it was incredible to be on the same pitch as you. But I just wanted to... Just to mention at the end, one of the Football Aid rep was mentioning about how QPR was one of the biggest kind of community clubs out there, and you know what they've actually done for, you know, the charity within the community, and I thought that was really great to see.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, QPR. I mean, Andy Evans in the community, him and his team are doing a great job there. You know, to try and keep all the local people, the fans, all involved in sort of things that are going on, and like, you know. I played in the aid game last year, and you know, that was a good sort of evening as well. It raised a few pounds for good causes, and yeah, I think QPR, you know, they're great like that. You know, anybody who sort of comes along and comes up with an idea, I think, you know, QPR are open to sort of help out. You know,
For sure.
Don, sorry to interrupt on the QPR front. Just a quick update and a big update from that West Brom versus Villa playoff semi-final second leg. Because West Brom captain Chris Brunt, who's been at the club for years and years, has shown all the passion you would expect of a club captain all evening. He's been flying into tackles. The referee had been quite lenient. He was only on a yellow card, but the challenge he just put in left the referee with absolutely no choice at all. It was from behind. It was reckless. It's a second yellow card. And West Brom, for the second time in two legs against Villa, find themselves down to 10 men, potentially in trouble there.
Yeah. I've been watching a bit of the game myself, and he's been slinging a few of the left-footed
he's
corners
been flying in
the free kicks,
hasn't he?
And you're just waiting for him, like, as in, like, to mistime one of the tackles or put a cross right on the money and get West Brom a second goal. But obviously, he's now got sent off, as you say, so they're in big trouble now. I'd say hopefully they can hold on. A friend of mine's a West Brom fan, so I'd like him to win for him.
And so, Don, we were talking earlier about the players leaving the club. So there's five or six have been announced tonight as leaving.
Right.
What's your view? Do you think we should have kept any of those? Is there anyone you're disappointed that's departing?
I don't know which ones have actually gone.
So it's Bidwell, Lynch, Pav.
Short, and
Cousins and...
Right, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of defenders there and, you know... I'd be a bit worried next year with the defence. You know, we've got to have a solid defence just to sort of make sure that, like, you know, even on the bad days, we might get a draw, you know. And, I mean, Bidwell's been a little bit disappointing. But, you know, I did look at Bidwell and think that he can come forward again. And Lynch has been someone, you know, he's got a presence, Lynch, you know, but maybe it's a bit difficult. You know, you're playing with another centre-half and maybe they just don't get on well together, don't play well together and... Maybe Lynch is the one that's suffering from that, you know?
Well, I just think it would be great. I mean, if Warburton now is coming, he's, you know, he always played quite attacking football for Brentford. And I mean, if I think we're crying out to replace Bidwell with a wing back, you know, or someone with a bit of skill, like in the ilk of kind of Clive Wilson or Padula, or someone yeah. that's really going to bring something. Because, you know, he was a little bit dull, and I think we need, you know, we need some.
I think Mike Bidwell, you know, when I watched him a few times, you know, he's getting in good positions, as in, like, you know, advanced sort of wing back stroke fullback, and his crosses just weren't zipping in enough, you know what I mean? Yeah. They were just sort of hung up in the air, and the keeper would come out and sort of catch him, and then you'd be back defending. And it just seemed like he lacked a bit of confidence. But I did feel that, I don't know, maybe he could have come forward, but obviously the club's decision is to let him go or whatever, and yeah. that would be it.
I'm not sure he'd so much lacked confidence.
But there's a lot of you know, turnaround there. We've got them four or five players there. The loan players have gone back. We've got youngsters out on loan who are coming back in. You know, it's a big, big start of the season. We just want to have a good start next year to sort of...
Sure, Don.
Give everybody a bit of confidence.
But
you know?
but out of the kids, we've been talking about this tonight. So out of the kids who are going to be coming back and really pushing for a start, you know, we've got Chair, we've got Bright, we've got Otte, Eze, and Little Smith. Of that lot, I mean, we've been saying it's probably not likely that all five of them are going to fit into that side. We'll need some experience. But of those five particularly, who are you particularly excited about watching?
Well, I mean, Chair obviously is someone who's scoring a few goals when he's out on loan. He's sort of like, he looked as though, you know, he's a bit of a player coming through. So I like him. I mean, Smith was okay for a little while, and then I was a little bit surprised he didn't get a lot of playing time. But, you know, if McLaren didn't fancy him, he didn't fancy him. That's his decision. But, you know, I felt that he can bring something to the table. Eze's got a step forward. You know, Samuel, to me, has been the big find of the season. You know, he's got energy, he's got an engine, he can sort of get back, make the tackle, he can, you know, he can attack at pace, he can cut in and sort of hit one. You know, he's a real bright spark.
So were you surprised that he actually got the young player of the season ahead of Eze?
Well, no, because Eze sort of lost his way a little bit. It wasn't, you know, I like Eze. I mean, I'm one of his fans, but he needs to do more.
Yeah.
And he needs to, like, you know, there has to be an end result in this game. It's no good looking good and no end result. Samuel does have a little bit of an end result. He will get there. He will have the shot. He will get there, make a cross. He will get back and make a tackle.
Yeah.
You know, he's got energy. He's got, like, speed and, you know, change of gears. But Eze's got the skill. It's just a matter of, you know, in my opinion, Eze making a few more right decisions and just getting that ball and going forward at pace more or less immediately and then working out what he wants to do there. He just seemed a little bit casual. I know that's his style, but he seemed a little bit casual. And his passing, I feel I'd rather him going forward and making, like, you know, the cutting pass, the telling pass, as opposed to the one that's going out to the right back or whatever.
Yeah.
Don, Warburton's got a really tough job on his hands here. Of course, lots of the guys going. He's not going to have massive money to spend. What kind of league finish next season would you consider a success, given the circumstances?
Well, definitely mid-table would be a success, in my opinion. You know, I can't see anything, if I'm very, very honest, you know, how we're meant to be challengers for, you know, sort of playoffs places and that. You know, I mean, with the turmoil, the change round that we're going to have to sort of deal with here. You know, we're losing five players. Let's say Bidwell, Lynch, they were more or less two regulars.
Yeah. Mm.
Cousins was, you know, in and out. You know, he had a good little spell for a little bit. Then he seemed to lose his form a little bit. And then, like, the other two, who were they again? Was it Pogue?
Charlotte.
Yeah, we lost right. Pavel, Cousins, and then obviously yeah. Hemed and Wales and Cameron have gone as well.
Yeah, you know, so I think whoever was to take this job has got a real tough job. I mean, I think the most important thing is quite simply we've got three teams who aren't going to get out of the Championship. They're all playing for the last spot to get to the Premier League. We've got three good teams coming down. So there's six teams there that we wouldn't want to play in the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season. You know, we really have got to get really organised very early. We've got to get a sort of system in place. And, I think Warburton's more than up to that, and he's more than aware of what the job entails, what he's got at his disposal, and, you know, who he might be able to bring in. I think it's important that, you know, he might have a couple of, say, players that, you know, maybe old Brentford players or Forest players, Glasgow Rangers players, whoever it might be. He might just have a couple two or three that will say, well, we'll come down. You know, probably the guys, you know, in their late 20s, early 30s, maybe get a season or two out of them, and they'll just bring the young kids on and give them a little bit of sort of encouragement, you know?
And surely if he, I mean, given what you've just said there, surely we've got to be a bit more patient than one season. So if he finishes 16th to 19th, like we've done the last four seasons, despite all that,
you know, he's got to stay, of course.
Yeah, we can't.
No, no, he can't. You know, they'll be totally unfair, really. You know, I mean, I dare say other people have been offered the job and turned it down. Mm. And, you know, he's sort of, you know, what we've been at Brentford, he's more than of, you know, aware of QPR's situation and, like, you know, where the club is, what we're doing. And, you know, he's took the job and he's totally sort of open-minded about it. He knows what the, obviously, the financial side is. He knows what he's got to work with. And, you know, he's just got to come up with a plan and, like, you know, make it work.
Finally, Don, is there someone ahead of, that was in the running ahead of Warburton that you would have preferred to have got the job?
Well, I was sort of like, you know, in the sort of Tim Sherwood camp, just purely for like someone with a bit of energy, someone that's sort of, you know, on the touchline, is more of a sort of a tougher type guy that won't put up with any, like, you know, nonsense from anybody. But, you know, I was sort of, I'm not sure whether he was offered a job and didn't want it or whether, you know, never come around to him. But he probably would have been my sort of choice. But Warburton, more than happy with. Give him a, you know, give him a lot of support, see what he brings to the table, and hopefully, like, you know, we start well next year and that can sort of carry us through, you know.
Wonderful stuff. Well, Don, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you. Thanks ever so much for your time. QPR legend Don Shanks there. And a quick update, talking of Shanks and shanking it, it is currently an absolute assault on the West Brom goal from Aston Villa. Of course, West Brom down to 10 men after that dismissal of their captain Chris Brunt. Aston Villa are peppering that goal. A sensational couple of saves from Johnston in net, particularly from Adoma. And I have to say, Villa have had a couple of really good chances pop up at the back stick, and they've shanked them over the bar. Updates throughout the show, and coming up, we're on the road to nowhere. But first, I've got one more clue for you in Who Are You? Okay? Buzzers at the ready. I've played for both Manchester United and West Ham. Don't go anywhere.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the QPR Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow, and Julian Monaghan and Gav Lawson of Ranger Things. I'm delighted to say we're also joined on the line by Gareth Dixon, also of Ranger Things, who can't be with us this evening. Evening, Gaz. Thanks for joining us. Given you're on the line, I'm going to give you pride of place. First guess, have you been tuning in? Do you know
we do.
Who are you is this week?
Is it Ravel Morrison?
He's got it in one. Very, very
I got it from Mexico,
stuff.
To be fair.
You got it from Mexico?
Yeah,
Google's
a beautiful thing.
It's a bit like
that's
his mate that went betting on Leicester away.
Yeah.
I got it in one.
How are you, Gaz?
Yeah, all good, mate. How are you? How's the ribs?
Yeah, they're all
right. Right, talk us through these
splinters.
We've had comments about this.
Well, this is why I missed last week.
Charity show you played in. Charity game, I should say.
Okay, charity show.
He's a bit precious.
I've got video evidence. I'm going to do this guy for GBH. He was another QPR fan, but he was on the other side. But no, I did have a pretty brutal tackle. I've got the bruises on my arm to prove it. But after 15 minutes of my debut at QPR at Loftus Road, I got completely clattered, to be fair. After that, it was just a great experience, really. Andy Sinton was giving us our team talk. Wayne Faraday was playing on the other side. Rufus Brevett was just behind me. And it was just, it was incredible to
was
be
he just
there.
Behind you, or was he hanging back?
He was hanging about a little bit. He was letting me do most of the running. But it was, it was great to be out there. To be honest, I've forgotten what it's like playing 11-a-side. The pitch is bigger than I remembered. The crowd was about the same size as I remembered. You know, this season
was a lot of booing
great.
When
there
you got
50,
the ball.
About 50 people there. A lot of booing. Yeah. But
you
no,
don't normally last 15 minutes, Gav. So that's a good start.
Yeah. It's not a bad start. But no, I mean, it was incredible. I've just got the DVD through the post today. So, but Football Aid and what they do, I think, is absolutely brilliant. And I'm going to try and play next year. And we should all do a range of things next year.
I don't play anymore. I'm too old.
Yeah, but mate, there are people even older than you there.
Listen, if Rangel can get a new contract, then Julian, it's place for you, mate.
That is true. That is very true.
Gaz, we're of course on the road to nowhere at this point in the show. Is there anything in particular that you'd like to bring to our attention?
Oh, nothing in particular apart from this QPR show, Johnny, not the Palace show, just to remind you.
Oh, you have been listening.
Oh, yeah, I was just testing to see if you were tuning in, Gaz.
Well, I'm in Mexico with Phil Morrison, so yeah, we're listening together playing the game.
Ask about the prediction league and how well he's done.
Gaz, yeah, I've got to ask you. Prediction league.
Down. I'm gone. I'm not
how have you done?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's a bit of a fix, really, because some of the results I got right, but Julian's made up the rules. So the result right and the scoreline, you still don't get points. So, yeah, I'm bottom of the league.
Anyone called Gav, we don't give points to Gav, sorry.
I was an optimistic QPR fan. I've kind of tempered those optimisms.
You've had points deducted, though, Gaz. Yeah.
Hey, say again.
You've had points deducted, haven't you, for bad behaviour?
FFP, I've probably broken my bank balance a few times. Yeah.
Conference
in some of the
for
dodgy
you.
Boozers that Julian takes me into Waterloo. So
there was that, yeah.
But yeah, no, it's been an indifferent season for me on the prediction league, just like QPR. But I'm actually quite optimistic about next year, especially after we've cleared the decks a little bit. And I think it gives us room to bring some in. I think the problem we've got is that we've got a similar bunch of players in the forward positions, and they're all youngsters. So we're only going to be able to bring in two or three max, and they're going to be crucial. But, I think Warburton, Eustace staying and Banfield coming, it's optimism, isn't it? And we can't get any worse after the indifference of kind of being Holloway's inconsistency and with McLaren's poor start, a bit of a renaissance, a couple of good results and then a terrible 2019. So Warburton's got nothing to lose in some senses. So I'm looking forward to where we're going to go next year, hopefully.
And talking of that potential positivity, Gaz, one thing we've been talking about on the show tonight is the importance of the loan market to QPR next season. It was used to some success this year with the signings of Naki Wells and Tom Ahmed. Of course, Derby used it very, very intelligently, bringing in Fikayo Tomori, Harry Wilson and Mason Mount. Do you think QPR should be looking to the teams at the top of the Premier League table and trying to get them in, A, because they're cheaper, and B, because they're younger, hungrier? I mean, Harry Wilson, he won't be available, of course, but players of that quality coming down on the cheap, on loan, would be glorious additions.
Well, I don't think they're that cheap. That's the thing, Johnny. I think the loan fees these days are outrageous. What Abraham's been brought in for two clubs now, and Bristol City and Villa, what they're paying is ridiculous. And we're just not looking... We can't look in those markets because it's like renting a house. As soon as the season's over, they do well, they're off, they're not yours. We've got to be looking in the lower leagues, and we've got to be trying to find the McGoldrick that you mentioned earlier. We've got to try and get that astute free signing that's going to do the business, But you can get burnt in the lower leagues. We signed Connor Washington, he's available again. So, we could maybe take him back, but I wouldn't wish that on anybody. But we've got to be looking at players that we can bring in on a free and just hope they turn out to be diamond or for very low fees, like Freeman. But Freeman's not going to be with us next year. But if we make a profit on him and he balances the books, that's where QPR are pitching at. So I think we're going to have to really be astute in there. I don't think loans is for us next year. We panicked to get the loans in. We didn't do well at the start of the season and we had to do something. But the loans were okay for us. But, we were unlucky. Cameron got that bad injury. For me, he was probably the most crucial loan player apart from Wells and his forward play at the time. But he dropped off, looked like his confidence was shot. And Hemed was injured as well and didn't really, apart from his initial goal against Wigan and the 3 points, didn't really set the world alight or win the fans over just from his kind of nonchalant attitude, I think, sometimes. So, it's a lottery. We picked up Arangel during the season. He turned out to be okay. And it's interesting they're going to keep him. So I think we need to get some free players in, use Penrice that's there, use Warburton's knowledge, Banfield, if he knows what he's looking at. He's been a scout for a while, so... Yeah, that's where we're pitching. We can't afford these Premier League loan players. It's not where it's not the business model QPR is based on.
So Gaz, we were having a quick look through a few questions just to sum up the season. And what was your favourite moment of the season and why?
You mentioned it. You nailed it for me. It was
Forest right.
Away.
Okay, all right. So most memorable goal.
Same one.
All right, done.
Do you know what you said about goal of the season?
Was it West Brom 7th?
Surely.
Matt Smith. Yeah.
Against Wednesday away. What a finish. The 94th minute. What a goal.
Funny that, mate, because that's the only game that I didn't actually watch live, including the away streams. And the
stream
froze on 92 minutes. And that's the only goal that I actually missed.
Well, they refunded it. Watch it again. It's
they
a great
paid
goal.
Me £2 to miss the only decent goal of the season.
Gaz, they gave me all £5 back. Were you?
What? I only got £2.
Gaz, thanks ever so much for joining us, mate. We will see you, of course, in the new season. It's going to extra time in the Championship.
See you, guys.
Playoff semi-final. Villa versus West Brom, of course. 2-2 on aggregate. We'll see what happens there. And we'll see what happens to QPR at the beginning of the next season. Until then, that's it from the QPR Fan Show.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.